Well now, Mr. Kennedy, I can say without fear of contradiction that in both my days as a practicing veterinary surgeon, I have never seen a dog of such huge proportions. It really is colossal.
It's a horse.
Is it? What, you mean like in the Grand National?
Yes.
I see. Well, I think I can make a stab at what the problem is here, then. There's no small man.
Sorry?
Round about this area here, there should be a tiny little chap with a whip. And the war horse doesn't seem to have one. Has he been off his food?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Just pop a brightly coloured child on his back twice a day. Twice a day for a week. He should be eating again in no time. Horse. I'd better write that down.
The Cheese Shop presents The Butter Factor from the Warwick Arts Centre near Coventry.
OK, Major, I'm at the first bomb now. The robot doesn't look damaged. I think the arm just didn't have the mobility to unscrew the casing.
OK, Corporal, you're going to have to disarm manually.
Roger. I'm unscrewing the cone.
What's that noise, Corporal?
It's the bomb ticking, sir.
No, the other noise.
Oh, why, I couldn't get a sitter, sir.
You've taken Benjamin with you?
Don't worry, he's fine. The fresh air will do him good.
Just keep him away from the bomb.
Right? Yes, obviously. The nose cone's off.
Right, now I want you to cut the red wire.
I think Benji'd quite like to do that, sir.
Corporal!
All right. It's cut, sir.
Right, now next to the right-hand fin, there should be a small knob. Looks a bit like a teat.
Oh, he's a bit wet, sir.
Corporal, get a move on.
Right, sir.
Now it should just lift off.
It's off.
OK, you've got 10 seconds to cut the green wire inside. 10 seconds.
Ding, decking.
Did you hear that? Those were his first words. Well done, Benji.
Bloody move on, Corporal.
Oh, the nasty man done a Rudy swear, didn't he, Benji? Well done.
Ding, decking.
Corporal!
All right, I've cut it, sir.
Well done, Corporal. And next time, don't bring your stupid son with you.
Fair enough, sir. Although, to be fair, he's been a lot more helpful than your son.
What?
Well, he's just been sat here dribbling the whole time.
You mean you've got my son out there with you?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was here. He seems to have wandered off. No. There he is. He's by the other bomb. I'll get back to you.
And now on BBC Two or Channel Four, it's time to disappoint homeowners by slightly changing their houses in Slightly Changing Their Houses. Hello, this week we're in a small two-up, two-down terraced house in Bethnal Green, home of David Sucker. David, describe your house for us.
Well, it's late 20th century. I did actually check the deed to the town hall and found that it had been built as early as 1978.
Gosh!
Yes. The exterior walls are made of a sort of chipboard. I believe they come from the local area. The wallpaper is greeny-black, and where there isn't mould, it is light blue. The three-piece suite is from the early foam fire hazard period. The floors are lino, and the curtains are also lino. The bedroom, on the other hand, needs quite a lot doing to it.
And what would you like us to do to it?
Well, I would like you to turn it into a Moorish palace, much in the style of the Alhambra in southern Spain.
OK, team, let's go to work. Jerry, talk us through the new furniture.
Well, Mike, what I'm going to do is cut sheets of wood into funny shapes with a jigsaw and then stick legs onto them.
And is that reminiscent of 15th century North African art?
No, it's just what I always do. I could paint them yellow, might look a bit like sand.
Well, I'll leave you to it and see what Tom's up to with his structural changes.
Just in time, Mike. I'm about to knock a big hole in this wall to create a Persian archway through to the kitchen. Stand back.
What a bloody hell do you think you're doing?
Oh, dear. Wrong wall.
Oh, I'm Mike Balty from BBC Two or Channel 4 slightly changing their houses. You must be David's neighbour.
Well, I was. Looks like I'm more his bloody housemate now, don't it?
Well, our experts have been at it all day, and it's time to show David what we've done to his house. David, come on in.
Oh, it's fantastic, I love. What have you done? Oh, my God, my lovely house, oh, God.
Well, David really is overcome, so let's leave him alone with his new home. Next week, we'll be turning a retired couple in Worthing's bungalow into a replica of the Tower of Babel with a bit of blue paint and a jigsaw.
Boys, Steve Davis here. Not the Steve Davis, obviously. I'm not the snooker player. I am Steve Davis' agony uncle, and this week my first letter is from... It's from Fit to Burst in Clacton. He writes, "All right, Steve? My girlfriend won't sleep with me unless I grow a moustache. Is there any way of doing it without ending up looking like a ponce?" Well, Fit to Burst, the simple answer is no. What we've got here is an exercise in damage limitation. Now, I've given this a lot of thought, and I reckon the best answer is to paint one on like Groucho Marx. A, it will come off easy, and B, if you ain't getting none, you're probably walking around doubled up anyway. Stick a cigar in your mouth and enter a talent contest. Dealt with. Next letter. My next letter is from... It's from Big End in Southend. He writes... "All right, Steve. I've got a cracking motor. Unfortunately, due to a faulty breathalyzer kit, I ain't got no driving licence. Bloody thing reckoned I'd had 10 pints. I'd had at least 15. Anyway, my wife reckons she should drive me to work. Is that the most embarrassing thing that could ever happen in the whole world?" Yes. Is that the question? Or is it? I reckon I've cracked this one. What you've got to do is get a continental car where the steering wheel is on the wrong side. Then, fit the passenger seat with one of them fake kiddie steering wheels. That way, to passers-by, it'll look like you're driving even though your old lady is. It also means you're right there when she needs help parking. Dealt with. Well, that's it from me. Be good. If you can't be good, you'll have me to deal with. Steve Davis. Ta-da. This is a man's world.
You see, the thing is, Ted, phony Graham records are getting nervous. There just doesn't seem to be any interest in a 70s singer-songwriter. In short, no one's buying your records.
Yeah, but I'm Ted Ruby, for God's sake. I mean, don't they remember Lovely Lady?
No, Ted, they don't.
Hey, geez, you know, they don't write them like that anymore.
And neither do you, Ted. That's the problem. Your music's just not fashionable anymore.
What do you mean? You don't have to be fashionable to sell records. I mean, since when was Sinatra fashionable?
Sinatra's dead, Ted.
Yeah, I wish I was dead. At least then when you stick a goddamn knife in my back, I won't be able to feel it.
Ted.
Johnny, do the 30 years I've spent on this record label amount to nothing?
In terms of record sales, Ted, that's pretty much the situation, yeah. No.
Hey! You want to kick the chair from under me or tighten the noose, Johnny? It's your choice.
Ted, listen. You've given me an idea. We could fake your death.
What?
Fake your death, then discover that you wrote one last song before you died. You know, "My End Is Near" or "On With the Show," something like that. We release it, we make a fortune, and you set yourself up in some foreign land or other. What do you say?
You reckon they'd let me back into Thailand?
You'd have a new identity. They'd have no choice.
Hey.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you just gotta come up with a song, Ted. We'll do the rest.
Hey, no problem, Johnny. Just make sure I die in style.
Hey, how about "In Flagrante Delicto"?
Hey, sounds good. I've always wanted to go to New Mexico.
Welcome to Fridge Wars, the ultimate in kitchen appliance warfare. We've got Dennis Mulligan and his souped-up Zanussi 2.4 challenging Vernon Tavaravadovich and his Hotpoint 1.2 split-level combo. Stand by! Fridge is at the ready. Go!
Come on, Dennis!
An even match, ultimately very, very disappointing.
It feels like we've grown apart. We don't seem to understand each other anymore.
Martin?
I don't think we've grown apart. I think we've just forgotten how to love each other.
No, Sean's right, you're wrong.
Oh. Well, I disagree.
You know who you remind me of, Martin? Saddam Hussein. Let's try a role-playing exercise. Imagine your neighbours. Sean, for the sake of argument, we'll call you Mr. Kuwait.
Okay.
Martin, you're Mr. Iraq. You've just moved in next door. You've run out of something. Cooking oil, for instance. What do you do?
Go round his house and ask to borrow some.
All right, knock on the door.
What?
Knock on the door, Martin.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Mr. Iraq. I'd like to...
Now, you see, already you're invading his personal space, aren't you, Martin?
I'm asking for some cooking oil.
No, you're not. Don't play games. Come on, back to the start. Try again. Knock on the door, Martin. Gently, this time.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Mr. Iraq, I've brought you some chocolates.
Oh, thank you.
Don't open the door.
What?
Don't open the door. He's got a gun.
No, I haven't.
He's lying, Sean. He wants to kill you.
Look, do you want these chocolates or not?
Perhaps you better pass them through the letterbox.
Sean, just take the bloody chocolates and give me the cooking oil.
Leave him alone, you big bully. I run the neighborhood watch scheme round here. We don't take kindly to people knocking on our doors late at night with guns. Now clear off.
And relax. Well, I think that was constructive.
How? How was that constructive?
Well, I got a lot out of it. What I learned was that, Sean, you seem like a nice guy. Martin, on the other hand, you make my flesh crawl.
This is no way to solve an argument. You might as well toss a coin.
Fine, that's what I normally do. Sean, you're my favourite. You choose heads or tails.
Oh, I don't know. Heads?
Oh, you're so close. I'll give it you.
Ipchester, Ainees Communist Radio.
You're listening to Chichester People's Party Radio. Help us! Following their re-education in Beijing, the angry satirists are back with their government-approved brand of edgy comedy.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Communism.
Come on in.
You know, I think that's all right.
Oh, God, for crying out loud, Lester, it's disastrous. The angry satirists have been brainwashed.
I genuinely think they're better.
Shut up, Lester. This radio station has become nothing more than a propaganda vehicle for the Chinese government. That's why they've got Godfrey Beep Beep Parker doing an all-night breakfast show. Now, tracheotomy or no tracheotomy, his unique blend of lively Morse code and upbeat Billy Joel numbers should not be going out at night.
Fair point.
And Doug Quaid, our worst DJ...
Steady on, there.
Shut up, Doug! ...is doing an all-night abysmal jazz odyssey at 8 in the morning. Well, can't you see what's going on? The people of Chichester are being kept awake at night, then mellowed out in the morning, so they feel tired yet strangely relaxed at lunchtime when the Chinese put out their anti-capitalist propaganda on the news. It's indoctrination on a grand scale.
I'm afraid it's worse than that, Napoleon.
How? How can it be worse than that, Anthony?
This is Godfrey Parker's latest show. Have a listen.
So the man likes uptown girls. It's hardly disastrous.
A sea cadet from Lansing sent me a transcript of that show, and it's frightening stuff. Listen to this. That was Billy Joel. More from him later. Now, military secrets.
The British Army will be on manoeuvres in the Gulf as of Wednesday at 0300 hours, coordinates to follow. That's after Billy Joel and Uptown Girl.
Oh, sweet Mary, no!
Yes, Lester, the radio station is broadcasting military secrets direct to Beijing.
Portsmouth.
They haven't renamed it again, have they?
No, we only broadcast as far as Portsmouth. We are a local radio station.
Brilliant news, everyone. The Chinese government realised we only broadcast as far as Portsmouth.
They've sold Chichester FM.
Godfrey will not be pleased.
Yes, he will. They've sold it to Billy Joel.
Oh, hooray! Oh,
that dial you're listening to, Billy Joel FM.
Okay, Ted, we reckon your private jet goes down in a thunderstorm over Lake Michigan.
But I'm scared of flying. Did you say Sinatra was dead?
Yeah, I did. Look, you haven't even got to get on the goddamn plane, Ted. That's the point. Now, when you reach Thailand, all you got to do is keep your nose clean.
Anything but my nose, Johnny. Hey, what say we? Screw Thailand. I stay in the U.S., set myself up as a Ted Ruby tribute band, yeah? Call myself Ed Diamond or the Australian Red Tubi, something like that.
Jeez, Ted, we were thinking of something a little more discreet.
Nah, it's just an idea.
How's that song going, anyway?
Pretty damn good.
It sort of gives it away there, Ted.
You reckon?
Yeah, it's got to contain pathos.
What the hell rhymes with that?
Not the word. I mean, it needs to be more poignant and emotional. When people hear it, they need to think of you with a tear in their eye.
Okay, I think I got it. I used to be the great romancer. I'm still smiling, though I've got bowel cancer. My songs create a sense of wonder. Keep buying my records, though I'm 6 feet under.
Do you think you can lose the disease stuff altogether? It's a touch graphic, you know? I mean, the idea is to try to subtly imply your impending doom.
Okay, I'll give it a go. Last shot. Every night when I go to bed, horrific premonitions fill my head. Ghostly figures calling out my name. They say, Ted, whatever you do, don't get on the plane.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Gentlemen, our next new act here at Girls, Girls, Girls is a fella. No, come on, try it, you might like it. He's new, but he's got a very special talent, so give him a chance, please, and go crazy for Mr. Miles Stout.
Thank you, Lenny. Now, you're all going to have a lot of fun watching me take my clothes off, bend over and do tricks with ping pong balls. But before I do, there are just a few things I'd like to make clear. Firstly, on every table, you'll see a box of tissues about the size of a Gideon's Bible. Please use them. There's always some idiots who don't. Please do. It makes our cleaners' lives easier. Secondly... Hey! Not yet, you idiots. I haven't started. That one just slipped out. Secondly... Does anyone here want me to come and sit on their lap as part of my act? Yes, you. Why?
I don't know. You know, you look all right.
There's always one, isn't there, Constable?
How did you know?
You've still got your hat on. Listen, pal, I'll sit on your lap for a tenner down me G-string, same as any self-respecting erotic dancer. But let's just remember the house rules. You can look, but you can't touch. I may be a middle-aged failed businessman who for a living does tricks with ping-pong balls, but I have standards. If you think I'm going to let you do tricks with my ping-pong balls, then you're miles off. You've missed the dartboard and blinded your only daughter.
You've skidded off the piece and smashed your skull on a tree. You've fallen at Beaches Brook and the vet's on his way with a cocked gun. The point is, I'm flattered, but no way. Not if you were the last punter on earth. You can offer me £100, I'd still tell you to op it.
120.
See me later. Finally, and this will probably make some of you slightly nauseous, but I'll say it anyway. I have a growth. It's about the size of a Gideon's Bible. And you'll know it when you see it. The point is, I know it's there. I don't need you lot pointing, poking, or throwing beer at it. So when I take my clothes off, if I do hear any smart aleck comments from the back of the room, the show's over, the lights go up, and you lot will be out on the street to continue your miserable lives without seeing my rear end's impression of Thailand's international table tennis team. Is that clear? Right, I'm serving. Who wants to receive?
All right, shut up. The sooner we get this over with, the sooner we can get out of here and put this mess right. Davis, what happened?
He must have got hold of duplicate keys. I was patrolling the exercise yard. He jumped me, took my uniform and made off into the night.
Okay, first warning, everyone. He may be dressed like us.
Yeah, he'll be a bit shorter, though, won't he?
Yeah, that may help.
And he'll have great big flippers sticking out of his sleeves.
Yeah. From now on, you're all to shake hands when you meet other guards. If you have to reach down and your hand comes back smelling of fish, you've probably met one of the seals.
Do you think he's armed? Or flippered?
I don't know. Dad Johnson! Don't play with beach balls while I'm talking. It's important. Put it away. Nice shot. OK, look, we've got to find him before the zoo opens at 9. After that, he'll blend in with the foreign kids, and that's the last we'll see of him. We've got 4 hours. Gentlemen, I'm counting on you. The governor's counting on you, and above all, the kiddies are counting on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on!
But the kiddies!
Oh, wait a minute!
Mark, B, do that again.
Yeah, come on!
No. Johnson. No. Davis.
For the kiddies.
No, that's probably nothing. Well, good luck, everyone. Let's get cracking. And Johnson, try some strepsils. You sound awful.
Houston, this is Mars Rocket. Walker speaking.
How's the return journey going, Walker?
Fine, we should be with you in... Hey, Rollins, what's our Earth ETA?
Blow it out your ass.
We think about a week.
Is there a problem up there? Rollins doesn't sound too happy.
No, he's fine. Rollins, tell Control you're fine.
Did somebody say something? It sounded like a deer farting.
You see, he's fine.
Well, okay, now we got someone here from the press who would like a word.
Hello, Commander Walker?
Yeah, who's this?
Don Barry, United Press. Can you tell me what it was like walking on Mars?
You know, I don't think I can, really. I think unless you'd experienced it yourself and felt the shifting sands beneath your feet, you could ever possibly understand...
Give me that, mate! I'm trying to tell the guy! Who's this?
Don Barry, United Press. Tell me, Commander Rollins, what's the trip been like?
You ever been to Disneyland, son?
Sure.
Did they let you out of the car?
Yeah.
How would you have felt if your dad had said, "Sorry, son, you're going to have to sit tight. We only got one pair of shoes."
Pretty bad, I guess.
And how would you have felt if when your daddy got back in the car, he went on and on about how you'll never understand how cool it was for him while you were sitting there like a donut?
Hey, Rollins, it's... time for you to do the routine checks.
Oh, hey, Don, you hear that? You might want to hold your first man walks on Mars headline. I got a better one. Check this out. Commander Rollins does routine checks near Mars.
No, I think I'll go with the first one.
You don't say.
Morning, Mr. Williams. I'd rather you didn't smoke, actually, especially if you're going to put the ashtray upside down on my table.
It's a tortoise.
tortoise. No, you've lost me. I can't believe this is an animal. It's just like a stone.
The tortoise is inside.
Oh, really? Well, let me assure you, Mr. Williams, that I'll be doing everything I possibly can to get him out. Now, I'm assuming he's about the size of a dog. Why do they have to get themselves into small places like this?
It's okay, actually, Doctor. I'll try somewhere else, thanks.
Well, then, thank you, Mr. Williams, and good luck with it. Tortoise dog. Better write that down.
£5 ticket for Godzilla, please.
There you go. Thanks.
One for Godzilla, please.
Forget you needed two, did you?
Oh, no, that was my brother, Barry.
Barry?
Yeah?
Wow! You two must be identical twins. Do you, like, know what each other are going to say all the time and stuff like that?
Yeah. Sometimes we find ourselves finishing off each other's
baths.
And sentences as well.
That's amazing!
Yeah. Although, you know, to us it's normal, because we've been together for, like,
weekend.
Yeah. And all the time before that as well.
Yeah, we've got a psychic connection. We can actually communicate without even using our... We can actually communicate without even using our...
Hands?
And voices.
Voices, sorry.
Look, you've got no idea what the other one's thinking, have you?
None at all.
Weird.
Okay, get lost. Come on, there's a queue building up here.
Sorry.
Yes, which film?
Godzilla, and can we have a double seat? My brother and I are Siamese twins. He'll be in a minute, he's just parking the car.
The Buffer Factor was written and performed by The Cheese Shop, who are Gerard Foster, Dave Lamb, Gordon Southern, Tim Verinder, Ben Ward and Richard Webb. The show was produced by Adam Tandy.
To keep you waiting, Mr. Burgess. Now that...
Oh, my God!
What have you done to Colin?
Colin?
My spider! You've killed him!
Spider! Mr. Burgess, I saw what I thought was a very small eight-legged dog and I panicked.
He only had a cold.
I'm so sorry. Spider. I'd better write that down.